Yong, this is a question for you, but others I think should feel free to jump in. It seems that there's often a lag between what you find through research and when policies are put into place by lawmakers and others. So is that a major concern? And what can the people who make the rules around fishing and other ocean activities do so we're not always playing catch up and having rules put in place when the problem's already gotten too bad?
Yeah, so fisheries management in the US, I think they have a, we have to follow some kind of regulations. And so in New England, we have a regional council, New England Fisheries Management Council. And within that, we have an organization called a Scientific and Statistic Committee, which provide scientific advice to council to set a quota for federal mandated fisheries. And so this is, you know, what we do is, because I actually sit on the council since 2011, I think it's 9 years. So what we do is we have all the kind of information, you know, whether it's generated by university researchers or by government agencies, and we try to synthesize all those information and to see whether we can incorporate that into a process called a stock assessment, which is a process lasts a very long time, you know, in terms of run the models, compile all the data, and then try to estimate it, how population changed over space and over time, and then, you know, to evaluate how, you know, different level of removal may impact the population. So we also run some kind of risk analysis, you know, try to identify a suitable level for the next year, you know, in terms of a quota for federal mandated fisheries. So this is usually, I don't think a lag for a very long time, and usually lag for 1 year, and you know, so if we run assessment for 2020. We probably would have a data up to 2019, and the 2020, of course, data would not be available because the stock assessment process is very long. Sometimes it take 6, 9, or even 12 months, depending on what type of assessment and you're going to run. You know, you have a very simple updated assessment, operational level assessment, and then you have a benchmark assessment, which you probably take a very long time, and then you probably have to wait for a bit longer time to get all the data in. So not very long, but a lag for one year, and which I think it's the best we can do. Actually, compare with a lot of other countries and compare with the International Fisheries Management Organization, I think actually we're doing extremely well. So Kathy, you might want to add something here?
I guess I feel like, that is a bit, that is how the process works, but it is also a bit optimistic because although the assessments may be run on a one-year cycle, it's really the benchmark assessments is the point which you can reevaluate how the assessments are performing and to really try to detect whether there are places where the relationships or the population vital rates may not be holding as they have in the past. And I think this this element of, we've heard about, how systems are changing, whether it's in fisheries or even in right whales, the historical expected migration patterns have shifted. And we don't know if the new patterns are going to hold or if they're going to shift back. And so we see this in fish populations as well. And I think what is really important is being able to have that time to really evaluate whether some of these relationships are changing and whether that will affect the results. And we don't do that on an annual cycle in most fisheries. So there is a bit of a lag for really stepping back and taking that bigger picture perspective. I think also in some areas you're seeing more and more sort of active use on a routine cycle of the ecosystem conditions in shaping the risk you perceive in a certain fishery. And so using that ecosystem information as you know it at a certain point when you're making a decision based on the stock assessment. So viewing them as complementary can help also maybe put the decisions based on the stock assessment into a broader context to know if conditions are generally favorable for that species, maybe you can absorb a bit more risk. If they are looking incredibly unfavorable, maybe you need to be a bit more precautionary. So I think that's another important approach for aligning the timeframes a bit more. It is, you know, I feel like it's used in some regions more than others, or in some fisheries more than others. And Yang, you are certainly much more engaged in knowing how that plays out here, but it's certainly something I feel like we're starting to see more widespread use of in several places, and more of an evaluation also of how, from a research perspective, of how well these sort of joint approaches can perform.
Yeah, I think I definitely would agree. We should have a more frequent assessment and look at, you know, because the change, things are, the system is so dynamic right now. But unfortunately, it's limited by the, you know, the resources that a federal government or state government has. And unfortunately, like for example, American lobster, we assess, a benchmark assessment is done every 5 years. And for a lot of ground fish species, like Atlantic cod, you know, every 3 to 5 years. And unless there is a crisis, you know, when there's a crisis, for example, Atlantic cod, and then you have a 2 benchmark assessment in a row. And otherwise, you know, they just run update assessment. We just add 1 more year data and look at how population change it, and without considering other factor that Kathy raised. I think they're really important, but unfortunately, I think it's limited by the capacity that we have in the management system.
There's been a lot of unanimity on the panel about what we're finding through research, but some of our audience members wonder if those in the industry, particularly lobstermen and other commercial fishermen, agree with the findings about the impacts of climate change and what it means for those fisheries in terms of restrictions on catch and things of that sort.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say that over the past 20 years, as I've been increasingly involved in the lobster fishery, that I think there's been much more of a meeting of the minds of scientists and fishermen, and that owes itself to collaborative research. I think that's played a really important role in getting the two parties to appreciate each other. Harvesters are out there every day. They're the most important naturalists we have. Their observations are critical and certainly not to be dismissed. And there are increasingly ways to capture that information too, through interview processes and so forth. So we can't just call them anecdotes and dismiss them. This is valuable information that can be incorporated. And you know, the industry's been really informative in helping us design studies too. We have a particular collaboration with Ready Seafood Company on the coast that's helped us design and implement a study that monitors lobster larval settlement in deep water at two ends of the coast of Maine. That has contributed a really important time series to our existing lobster database. So. Yeah, sure, there's going to be some disagreement about the influence of climate impacts and other impacts, whether they're harvesting impacts or other environmental factors. Nobody's going to agree 100%, but I think we've made huge inroads in mutual understanding of the important things to study.
Yeah,